Locked On NBA, the biggest stories, the local experts. Every Monday, we check in with the biggest stories across the NBA with our Locked On Podcast Network hosts. Today, we go to Boston to speak with John Corrales of Locked On Celtics about all of the moves that new GM Brad Stevens has been making. We then go to Detroit to speak with Ku Khalil of the Locked On Pistons podcast about Cade Cunningham finally arriving in Detroit and the moves that Troy Weaver's making and what that might mean in free agency coming up. And lastly, we go to Ed Oliver of Locked On Wizards about Russell Westbrook being traded to the Lakers, Bradley Beal's future, and what they could be up to in free agency. It's all coming up, the biggest stories with the local experts on Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome back to another week of Locked On NBA. I am your Monday host, Josh Lloyd. I'm also the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, and I'm the lead analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. The NBA draft is in the books. NBA free agency is starting in less than 24 hours from when you're listening to this, so lots of excitement around the NBA. So let's talk to some of the hosts across the Locked On Podcast Network about some big stories that are happening right now. So here is the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. You saw him on Locked On NBA's live NBA draft coverage the other day. John Corrales is here with me. John, first of all, congratulations on the NBA draft show. It was awesome to be a part of, but awesome to watch you
do your thing.
Thank you. 5 hours or so, whatever it was the other day.
Six. Not that I'm counting.
Sorry, 6 hours. But let's talk Boston Celtics because we know that there was a change. Danny Ainge out as GM. Brad Stevens in to replace him. And since he's been in as GM, there has been 3 trades executed by the Celtics, which honestly, for this time of year, is quite a lot, especially involving players. Now, the immediate jump to conclusion that you can have is that Brad Stevens has gone, right, I've coached these guys and I know who I want out of here. Tristan Thompson out straight away, Kemba Walker gone in exchange for Al Horford. Is there any, I don't know if truth is the right word to that, but is there any, is that accurate in any sense that Stevens has just come in and said, well, I know what this roster is, so I am now remaking it for what I want?
Yeah, I think there were some obvious moves. He's made the obvious moves that we were talking about. And because of the NBA calendar year, he made them before the year flipped to take advantage of some things that were beneficial to the Celtics. But we knew Kemba Walker was going to have to move. But doing that before the calendar flipped allowed the Celtics to trade this year's draft pick and then move forward and still have all of their draft picks available to move in a bigger deal. The Jason Richardson trade, by doing it now, they were allowed to fit his salary into the Gordon Hayward traded player exception. If they had waited a week, he wouldn't have fit into the traded player exception. So that allowed them to make this move. So this is why Brad Stevens is active at a time where most teams aren't active, because he had an extenuating circumstance and he knew that Tristan Thompson had to go. So he made that deal. That's not official yet, but once that becomes official, he will have accomplished a lot of the goals that the Celtics already set out. Move Kemba, clear cap space, move Tristan Thompson, and let's move forward and now see where the Celtics sit and what holes they need to fill.
Yeah, he's definitely not mucking around, but you're right. Some of those moves did have to be made just with the salary cap and the timing of these decisions in order for that to work under the cap. Tristan Thompson, as soon as Al Horford was brought back, the writing was definitely on the wall there for him. Do you reckon? I know Stevens played Thompson and Tice together a lot, much to the chagrin of many Celtics people. Was that just out of necessity, do you think, based on how quickly he's jettisoned Tristan here?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, you know, they just traded, or they had just signed Tristan Thompson. They had just hard capped themselves to get Tristan Thompson. So that was a very strong message. Like, you got to play Tristan Thompson. How do you do that? And trying to play double big, I understood it early on. You know, if this was going to be the team, then they were going to need to figure that out. So the first month of the season or two, let's see how these guys fit together. But it never quite did. It got better. But they had no choice but to play Tristan Thompson. When we look back on it now in hindsight, it was a pretty bad offseason for Danny Ainge. The Thompson signing was bad. And not only was it bad, but by hard capping themselves, they took away options for the Gordon Hayward traded player exception because they couldn't use the whole thing because they would have hit the hard cap. Jeff Teague was a disaster. And they tried to rectify that quickly. But Brad Stevens did come in and have to clean up a lot of the mess that Danny Ainge left. I understand the short turnaround caused some of that, but it's a mess nonetheless.
Now, in terms of what they got back for Tristan Thompson, we have Chris Dunn and Bruno Fernando and a second-round pick coming back from the Atlanta Hawks. We know that Al Horford and Moses Brown came in exchange for Kemba Walker, but Moses Brown is very quickly on his way out. Abe Simpson at the strip club type GIF move is straight on his way back out in exchange for Josh Richardson. And there's something that I've seen mentioned in a few places, John, and you can pour water on this if you like, but the Celtics, the players that they brought in here, Chris Dunn, defensive-minded guard. Josh Richardson, defensive-minded guard. Does this mean anything for the future of, say, Marcus Smart on this team, who there has been rumors that maybe he could be someone that they do look to move on? Of course, the Celtics don't really have a point guard at this point, so he could just be lined up as their starting point guard. But getting Richardson and Dunn in, who both play that similar defensive guard sort of role, it is a little curious to get both those players in.
Well, look, neither of those guys is as good as Marcus Smart overall at this point. So certainly not Chris Dunn. So I can't imagine anybody having seen the body of work from Chris Dunn, the injuries and all of that, and said all of a sudden, hey, this is the Marcus Smart replacement. I think this is the Marcus Smart backup. When you look at it, you got Smart as your starting point guard. The backup is Peyton Pritchard, who had a nice rookie season, but he's small. And so can he, if you need a shooter, a guy who can pull up from 30 feet, he's working on that. He's done that a little bit. But if you need to go big and defensive, then you can put Marcus Smart, Chris Dunn, Jason Richardson. You can go small, super small, but with a great defensive lineup of those three, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, if you're really trying to make another team match up with you, you're putting a lot of pressure on them. If your other team has a big that is questionable, maybe a little mobile, but not quite, that's going to put a lot of pressure on that team. And the Celtics will have a lot of defensive options. I think that Brad Stevens is giving Ime Udoka, a defensive-minded head coach, a lot of defensive options. And in lieu of a bunch of scoring, you're going to get your scoring from Tatum and Brown and some other options just off of them. But this is going to be a team that goes back to a strong defensive mindset that they kind of got away from last year. That's where they're going to hang their hat. That's how they're going to win games. And if they're going to make any noise in the playoffs, it's going to be because they can stop other teams.
So we've got these two guards coming in. I agree with you about Chris Dunn has not been good really at any point in his NBA career. So he is just a backup and it's just getting something back, I guess, in exchange for Tristan Thompson. But Richardson did struggle last year, but he had some good moments in Miami, less so in Philadelphia. What does this mean now for the approach of Brad Stevens in free agency? Of course, it's probably the big name that the Celtics would look to bring back, I guess, is Evan Fournier, who they traded for at the trade deadline. Does this hamper that move at all?
It does call into question how willing Fournier is going to be to take what the Celtics are offering. It's starting to sound like Fournier is going to get some offers from teams with cap room, which was always a fear in Boston that a team like the Knicks or another team with cap room will say, hey, we've got a lot of money to spend. There are not a ton of great free agents this year. We're going to give it to you. We're going to give you $20+ million to come here for 1 year. Then next year you go back into free agency. We'll see how it goes. But all of the talk around Fournier had been that his market is somewhere around 14, 15-ish million dollars for a team like New York to come in. If they come in with more, something in the 20s, you have to take that as Fournier. And I think the Celtics see that. And they're either going to say, we'll give it to you as a sign and trade if you want to do that. And if not, they're just trying to make up for the loss. And this would be their way of doing so.
Well, it is obviously going to be really interesting as free agency opens tomorrow to see Boston's approach after being really active already. And John, you'll have that covered for us all over on Locked On Celtics. So check John out over there. Thank you, John, for coming on Locked On NBA with me.
Got it. Always a pleasure.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Do you know Built Bar has just so many delicious flavors? It gives you the freedom of choice to get whatever one you find most palatable. But you know what? They're all awesome. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. Whenever you try Built Bars, you are going to have a favorite flavor. I can guarantee you that. But if you don't know what your favorite is, grab a mixed box. You'll get two of each of the 9 flavors so you can figure out what your favorite Built Bar is. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Check out the macros. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. The promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So let's bring in Ku Khalil now, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Let's start with the big news, the obvious stuff here in Detroit, Ku, and that is that Cade Cunningham is now a member of the Detroit Pistons. You sort of knew it was coming. There were a few, you know, misdirections and fake outs about that happening, but is there any sense of relief that the Pistons actually did go out there and call Cade's name?
Oh, yeah, it definitely was a big relief. I mean, obviously, I think everyone in Detroit is very happy and very excited about Cade joining the Pistons. But yeah, definitely, it was a big relief. I think a lot of fans, including myself, is like just hosting the podcast. It was getting a little tiring having to talk about the same old rumors and speculation that nobody really bought, but you had to talk about and like at least pay a little bit of attention to because it was out there. But so yeah, I think it was definitely a relief for the Pistons fans and me myself to hear Cade's name finally named.
Now, yeah, we've heard talk, again, there was talk of other guys, maybe Jalen Green's in the mix, maybe it's Evan Mobley having this great workout with Detroit. But in terms of what the Pistons are getting here with Cade, yeah, how are you viewing this? Is this generational type talent? Is a franchise-changing sort of moment?
Yeah, I think it definitely 100% is a franchise-altering moment. The Pistons, I mean, just talking about first picks in general, they haven't had one in 50 years. They've never moved up with their own pick. So simply that in and of itself was like a once in a lifetime type of thing that was already like pretty big for the fan base and the team. But then also just getting a player like Cade that I believe is going to be their franchise guy now. I mean, I've said this multiple times on my podcast, other podcasts, but if you even look at the last year's playoffs, you see a bunch of Piston players that were good third guys, second guys, role players, off the bench guys. Like you see all kinds of former Pistons that were filling that type of role. But that just lets you know the Pistons were good at getting those type of guys. They just were never able to get that secure one or two guy. And I think they got that now with Cade, and that completely changes this restoration that Torrey Weaver calls it from being what I believe to be like a 3 to 5 year restoration to what I now believe is probably around 2 to 3 years with Cade. If he's everything that he's billed to be, which I believe he's going to be, I think that definitely helps the timelines accelerate a little bit for Pistons.
For the sake of completion, the Pistons also had a number of second-round draft picks where they chose Isaiah Livers, Luka Garza, and Baltzar Kaprivica. I guess Livers is the guy there, the local player, played for Michigan in college. Is there, I guess there's a little bit of hype about him just because, or not just because, but you know, in large part because he is a local player. So is there some level of excitement that maybe he can be some level of rotation contributor?
Yeah, I think Livers is the only one of the three that you should really think could possibly crack the rotation. I actually think his style, I mean, there was actually an article today that came out. I forget who wrote it or where it came from. I'm sorry if you happen to listen to this, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. But they said that he basically could come down the same path that Sadiq Bey did. I actually think that's very accurate. I think Livers has the best shot to crack the rotation because the Pistons need shooting, some length, and he has both of those things. And if he can – like if he can continue to shoot the way he showed that he can in college and in the workouts, obviously heading into the draft, now I definitely think there's a spot for him, possibly in the rotation for him to crack into it, especially with free agency playing out with Frank Jackson and Hamidou Diallo, both being restricted free agents. You don't know if those two are coming back. I know the Pistons probably do want to bring them both back, but specifically Diallo, he could be a little expensive. So I think there definitely is a way for Livers to become a rotational player. But the other two, not so much. I don't think they're really ever see the court this year. I think they're BG League guys, maybe not even contract guys. I don't know. I'm not really thinking highly of any of the other two.
Yeah, I wouldn't be thinking too highly of those two either. But the Pistons, that's not all they did. They drafted Cade Cunningham, and that's a huge win. They get the local guy, Isaiah Livers. But Troy Weaver was not content just with that. Now, the news has just come out today that they have waived, or yesterday, I don't remember which day it was, Corey Joseph has been waived. He was getting a lot of playing time towards the end of last year after he came across in the trade for DeLon Wright. But perhaps more eye-opening is the trade of Mason Plumlee. So the Pistons signed Mason Plumlee to a large amount of criticism, I think, last season in the offseason. And then 1 year in, they've traded him away. But they didn't just trade him away. They traded him away along with pick number 37 to get back pick number 57, which was used on Bosica Pravica. So basically salary dumping Mason Plumlee by giving up a high second round pick in the process. Now, if the idea is, well, we just want time for Isaiah Stewart, that doesn't pass the sniff test to me, because you can just play Isaiah Stewart over Mason Plumlee anyway. So what's happening? What are the Pistons creating this cap space for? What is up?
So the Mason Plumlee trade definitely, I won't say confused. I actually have said for a while that I thought he was going to be traded on draft day to get back into the first round. I thought they were going to be able to package him with the first round pick to a contender, maybe like the Nets or someone who needed a veteran big who could play. Make no mistake about it, Mason Plumlee had a really good year for the Pistons this past year. I think he had like two or three triple doubles for him. He had a pretty good year for us. So it was kind of shocking that they had to attach a second rounder to just move back and basically have the Charlotte Hornets take Mason Plumlee. I'm sure they're happy to have Mason Plumlee. They needed a big guy. So I'm sure he's going to fill a void for them. But definitely that was shocking to see that they had to attach a second rounder just to get him basically off the books. You're right to say that doesn't pass the sniff test about just simply wanting to play Isaiah Stewart. You're right to say that. I don't know if you've seen any of the other rumors. There's also rumors apparently that the Pistons are interested in Tim Hardaway Jr. in free agency, apparently Jermichael Green as well. I don't have any insight on this part. This is me more just speculating based on what I've seen and what Troy Weaver has shown over the past year and a half of him being the GM. But for me, I don't think the Pistons are trying to lose this year. I don't think they're pushing all their chips in by any means, but I also don't think they're pushing all their chips in to lose either. I think they want to be a competitive team this year, actually. If they push into the plan, so be it. But I think they're actually going to try to build like a decent team to where they're not just like sniffing the bottom of the standings anymore. So I wouldn't be shocked if they were cleaning this cap space. And I'm actually having Keith Smith on the podcast later on today to talk about the Pistons' exact cap situation. But I wouldn't be shocked if they made some plays in free agency, not some big splashes or in the big pond or anything, but definitely maybe a Nerlens Noel, maybe a Tim Hardaway Jr. if they lose out on Diallo and Frank Jackson, who knows. But yeah, I think they definitely moved that cap space so they could specifically make some moves in this season, because they could have held on to Mason Plumlee until next year and made a move like this as well. But it seemed like they are in a rush to do it right now. It seems like they want to make a move in this free agency.
To me, the way that it sort of feels is that they are looking at the impact that Cade can have in year one as very similar to the impact that, say, Luka Doncic had in year one. For now, you know, I hate comparing those two players, but it's just in terms of, you know, if Luka on Dallas meant that they were going to be too good to get a high draft pick. And Cade, I think that Troy might be thinking, well, Cade playing for Detroit, along with the development of Stewart and Bay and hopefully Killian Hayes as well, will mean they're going to be too good to get themselves another high draft pick. So let's use this availability of cap space that we can create now to see if we can actually push for the play-in or push for the playoffs and accelerate that timeline. And then by year three, when Cade is really rolling, hopefully, then you are pushing for a top four seed. That to me is what it feels like. I don't know who they're targeting. I have heard the Tim Hardaway one. And that would obviously help because they do need shooting. I said if Jackson's not there and Diallo's not there, and they had Wayne Ellington filling that spot so much last year. D'Lon Wright played it a lot. He's not there anymore. So there is a big opening there, and that would make a lot of sense to get some shooting there around Cade and around Killian Hayes as well. So it is going to be really interesting to see what Troy Weaver does have up his sleeve. Koo, you again have got a podcast, as you said, coming today with Keith Smith. That's on Locked On Pistons. People can tune in over there to hear some more detailed explanations of the Pistons cap situation. But thank you for coming on Locked On NBA with me.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of that action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today using our promo code LOCKEDON and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline are your online sportsbook experts. All right, so let's bring him in now. One of the hosts of the Locked On Wizards podcast, Ed Oliver, is here with me. Ed, the Wizards pulled a big move on draft day. Russell Westbrook is gone after one season in Washington. The writing appeared to be on the wall, but I don't think people expected it necessarily. There was always those whispers, and it's like, oh, okay, this is just standard Westbrook to the Lakers rumors, which we hear every year for the last 5 or 6 years, it's felt like. How real did that feel before the draft, and was there any surprise that this did get executed so quickly?
So Tommy Shepard had a press conference the day before the draft, and he said that nobody requested a trade, including Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. So it somewhat was a surprise, but I probably should have kept my guard up to be alert for a trade to happen, for them to blow it up. I actually thought when they traded Russell Westbrook, I thought that Bradley Beal was going to request a trade as well. But he really wants to stay with the Washington Wizards and help them build around him.
Yeah, so that was where we were going to go next. We'll talk about Beal in a second. Let's talk a little bit about the return for Russell Westbrook. Of course, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, first-round pick, which was pick number 22, and the Wizards ended up trading that on to the Indiana Pacers. And so they end up with Harrell, Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Aaron Holiday, and pick 31, which ended up being Isaiah Todd. Yeah, that's obviously not a player at the level of Russell Westbrook, but it's five different players acquired in that trade. Do you think that is a fair return for Westbrook? Are you happy with those guys there? And can they all be, majority of them be significant rotation pieces this season?
I think it was a solid move to get off Russell Westbrook's contract. He was getting paid $44 million in 2021, and then he was going to he could have opted in in the 2023 season for $47 million. So it wasn't easy to get off of that contract. So for shipping that contract, I thought we've got a decent return and getting a first round pick from the Lakers as well that we turned into. We traded that back and we ended up getting Aaron Holiday, like you said. So we got a backup point guard and Isaiah Todd. So I thought that was a solid haul. And then there's actually rumors right now that are circulating that we will be trying to trade Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma to the Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets, because we need a point guard really badly. We need a starting point guard because Russell Westbrook, we traded him. We just don't have a legitimate starting point guard right now because Aaron Holiday is not going to be our starter. He's most likely going to be our backup. So I thought it was fair value for somewhat of a salary dump for a guy that in Russell Westbrook that requested a trade, that wanted to team up with LeBron and Anthony Davis. I thought the haul was serviceable. And if we can flip guys like Kuzma and Harrell for a really good starting point guard, then I think it was fair value.
Look, if that move can come down, because as you said, you don't have a starting point guard because the starting point guard and both of the backup point guards are gone. Ish Smith and Hartenstein, right. They can come back, but they're free agents, so they may not be back. So at the moment, there's Aaron Holiday that's in place there. So if you can turn Kuzma and Harrell into Spencer Dinwiddie, I think it's a really big win for the Wizards to be able to do that. Because Dinwiddie is a guy, of course, coming off that partially torn ACL, but a guy that's never really had that opportunity to be a full-time NBA starter. But the thought around the league and from nearly everybody is he is an NBA starting caliber point guard, and he's going to get that opportunity. So if they are able to turn those assets, which the Harrell move, like we know Harrell was sixth man of the year a couple of years ago, but he was pretty disappointing this season. And with Daniel Gafford, Thomas Bryant, and other centers, and bringing in an Isaiah Todd as well, his fit was a little bit weird, I guess, with this squad. It would make sense to get a Dinwiddie, and I think that's a strong move. But in talking about Bradley Beal, as you said, you thought maybe it just mean Bradley Beal is moving on. And a lot of people were thinking that, but Shams Charania came out straight away basically and said no, that Brad wants to stay in DC. And that's always been the thing. It's constantly been Bradley Beal trade rumors. When is Beal requesting a trade? And the constant theme coming out of Washington has been, no, Brad wants to stay with DC and he wants to be the guy to be built around. He wants to win it with him being the main guy. Do you think there was any, I don't know if the right word is impetus or pressure from Beal to be like, okay, we got Westbrook in. It didn't really translate into a huge increase in wins from the previous season or anything. We had that little run and made it to the playoffs through the play-in tournament. Do you think Beal was like, well, okay, I want to go back to being the guy that has the sky-high usage and runs everything. The Westbrook thing didn't actually help us that much. If he wants to move, I'm more than happy to get rid of him, but let's build around me now.
Yeah, so he wants to – he was saying something like similar to what Giannis said, where Giannis, after he won his ring, he didn't want to team up with other guys. He didn't want to team up with the Nets and the Miami Heat back in 2011, other super teams like that. So Bradley Beal has been preaching that for the past couple of years, and every single summer there are rumors about him saying that he's going to request a trade, and photoshops of him in different teams' jerseys, like Miami Heat jerseys and different things like that. So he really wants this team to be built around him. Now, Wes Unseld Jr., he does want them to pass the ball more. Last year, it was a lot of ISO basketball, Bradley Beal, a lot of isolation. Russell Westbrook, you know, we all know he's an isolation guy as well. So the new coach really wants them to move the ball and pass the ball. And I think if they get a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie, there will be more passes for that roster instead of how it was with Russell Westbrook. So I think he wants them to build the team. Also, the trade, it did give us an $8.5 million trade exception. And it did free up $5 million in cap space. And then also the following year in 2022, that offseason, we're going to have $25 million in cap space available because we traded Russell Westbrook. So those cap space moves do make it more flexible for the Wizards to make moves next year to convince Bradley Beal to come back, not just this year, but the next year when his contract is up. You know, most likely they will be offering him a huge, huge deal for Bradley Beal to stay. After next season. So, but I think he wants to be that number one guy. And can we get a championship in DC with him being the number one guy? That's a tough question. I mean, I don't personally know if it can happen, but you know, we'll see what happens with Bradley Beal's number one option. We'll see if Tommy Shepherd can make some moves and bring some good guys in here to surround him with talent.
Well, they're clearly not rebuilding, because, you know, if they're rebuilding, you're not taking a guy like Corey Kispert in the draft. You're not making moves for Spencer Dinwiddie. You're looking to build around Beal, not like tearing it down. So it is going to be interesting to see exactly what Shepherd does and how Wes Unseld does in his first season as coach. I think it actually makes it a little bit easier for Unseld without having Westbrook there, because then you can sort of tailor a system a little bit more around Beal and get things to work that way, rather than some of the stuff that Westbrook does make tougher on his teammates and with the coaching staff, with his very distinct style of play. Ed, you'll have it covered for us all over on Locked On Wizards, whatever Washington does here in the offseason with free agency starting tomorrow. Thanks for coming on Locked On NBA, and people can check you out over there.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. And you can follow me.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Ed. Sorry, you just cut out.
You can check me out on Locked On Wizards, and you can follow me on Twitter at the username below.
Go check out Ed and check out Locked On Wizards. And that'll do it for another episode of Locked On NBA. Don't forget to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course on the Odyssey app. Go give us that 5-star review. Follow me on Twitter @RedRock_Beeble as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.